Hey everyone, it's Keith here, and I want to tell you today's episode is different than anything we've ever done. So stay tuned. Conversations with the Calvinist begins right now. Welcome back to Conversations with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I am a Calvinist. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with my father and talk to him about his life and his experiences. Now, I'm bringing this up because it's Father's Day weekend, and I wanted to share some of what my dad told about his life story with you all. Now, again, as I said in the opening, this is different than anything that I have ever done. A lot of this is not really going to focus so much on his spiritual background because he didn't become a believer until later in life, but he has such an interesting story going from a situation where he grew up basically homeless from the age of 12, and he's going to take us through what it was like living a very difficult life and yet still coming out being a very good father. So I hope that you enjoy this interview that I did. I did it with my brother and my father, and I hope that this is a blessing to you. As I said, it's something different, and keep this in mind. Conversations with the Calvinist comes out every week. Sometimes we do multiple shows, but we do at least one show per week. And if you have questions or anything that you would like for us to go over, you can email us at calvinistpodcast@gmail.com. And we do have a new website now that you can actually go and access our podcast directly at calvinistpodcast.com. You can go and find all of our podcasts are housed there, and you can use that as a platform to share if you have people that you'd like to share podcasts with. Thank you for listening to Conversation with a Calvinist. Here's the interview with my father for this Father's Day. May God bless you. Today is Father's Day.
We started that a while ago.
Yes, we did. And so what I would like to do is I would like to talk to you, my father, about your life. Several years ago, we talked about maybe writing a book about your life. You remember this?
Yes.
Well, we were thinking maybe instead of writing down your thoughts, we would actually have an opportunity to record your story. Bobby and I are your sons, and we are here to hear your stories, and we want to ask you questions and just go through your life and hopefully maybe gain some wisdom throughout this?
No, you're not going to gain no wisdom. Not by talking to me, anyway.
How old are you?
77.
77 years old. Okay,
yeah.
This is how it's going to go.
Yeah, we're off to a good start, man.
I'm glad he's having a good day.
No, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you're 77 years old. Tell us when you were born.
On my birthday. June 2nd,
1945. June 2nd,
1945. In Macon, Georgia.
Okay. Now, you didn't grow up, you were born in Macon?
Yes.
But you didn't grow up in Macon?
No.
Okay.
I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida.
Now, I thought you grew up in Lubbock, Georgia.
No. Moved here. And then we went back and forth to Lubbock.
Okay.
But we were just living here.
Okay.
Because Daddy was a bus driver.
Okay.
And that's where they had buses. They didn't have none up there.
Okay. All right. See, this is different, right? I mean, not different, but this is part of what we want to do is we want to be able to sort of put your life together in a narrative that we can share with our kids and also, you know, share with people. So you're born in Macon.
Right.
And how long were Grandma Janice and Papa or Grandpa Foskey married? Because were they married when you were born?
Yes, they were. We were probably a family for till I was about 7 years old, 6 years old maybe.
Okay.
And then they got a divorce, and
back then that was a pretty big deal, right? I mean, it's not quite as common as it is.
Yeah. It's back then. Men didn't get custody of the kids. I mean, it just didn't happen. So I got, my mother got custody of me. And as time went on, she began drinking, taking pills, and drinking, and taking pills, and smoking. And my life went downhill from then.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved back to Lubbock, Georgia a couple of times.
Now, back, I want to interrupt you, but I want to...
Her mom and daddy.
And that was...
Lubbock, Georgia.
No, what were their names?
I always called them Pa Mac and Ma Mac, because his name was McDonald Mormon. So that was Ma Mac and Pa Mac.
So his first name was McDonald?
No. I can't remember what his first name
was. Wait a minute. If his last name was Mormon...
I guess it was McDonald, yes. Okay. It had to be, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to leave you out.
No, no, no. Go ahead. I'm just listening and mainly listening to parts where I've been told before, because I've heard a lot of the stories and parts of, you know, as they come up.
The other day we were driving on Haines Street. We went to get some crates from a factory that was selling some crates we can use for chicken pens. While we were there, Dad said, yeah, I used to run down that road. What was the name of the road? It was Columbus or something.
I don't know, but it's over off Haines Street Expressway.
Yeah.
There used to be a school over that me and Pat used to go to. I think she went Franklin Street School or something like that.
And he said the first time he ever smoked a cigarette was on...
on the roof of that building.
And you never were a smoker. I remember growing up. I never saw you smoke. I never saw you drink very much either, but I never ever saw you smoke a cigarette.
Well, I took a puff off of that thing and choked and gagged. And I said, why in the world would anybody want to do this? There ain't no fun about this. It burned my eyes and maybe snot run out my nose. I see no fun in it.
That was me too. I was at Granny's house. Yours and Jennifer's old house.
Yeah.
I snuck one of Granny's, tried it, and I was like, these people are dumb. What are you doing?
Yeah, what's the fun of this?
Yeah.
Right?
Because I didn't know how to do it. I'm a kid.
No.
So I remember you talking about Aunt Nell. Who was the one? Granny Harris.
That was my grandmother here in Jacksonville, my daddy's mom.
So is that who you were living with when you were here, or did you live?
Yes. They had their own place.
Okay.
But as time went on, like I said, when they busted up, I used to go to Granny Harris. I'd stay with her for once in a while, and Mama was always drunk. And so, you know, it's just a mess. And I was here and there and here and there and over. I never was no worse for very long.
Yeah. Now, when you were 7, I guess you said when they busted up, was that before or after you got the mud ball in the eye? You know,
that was after, yes. But before that, I'm going to tell you about my experience. When I was a little fellow living in Macon, just before we moved to Florida, I was on an escape, what do you call it? Apparently you got an escape where you come down the stairs and get out of the building.
Fire escape.
And so there was a bunch of little kids there playing. And I was hanging on the outside of their stairs with my hands on the rail. A little girl hit my fang with a shoe. Like that, girl. And so, I don't know what I did, but I just turned loose both of them and smiled at her and fell over backwards. And when I fell over backwards, I landed on a pile of bricks, broken bricks, where they was repairing the building. And I remember looking down and seeing them, bam, and then I turned my head just like that. I don't know why I turned my head. But next thing I remember, I was in a doctor's office or a hospital. I don't know. I don't remember. But I was kind of hovering up here in the corner, kind of like a dream, I guess. And I could see me laying on the table, and I could see my mama standing on one side of the table, doctor standing on the other side of the table, and nurse at the foot of the thing. I think she's down there at the foot. And I could see everything. You know, I could see myself. And I thought, that's me. That can't be me. I'm up here. But anyway, so when I hurt my head right here.
Is that where that scar came from?
I've seen that scar. Yes. And so the doctor, they had a couple of big old heavy towels. I had my head soaked in blood, towels. So the doctor said, we can't give him nothing to kill the pain. We got to hold him down to sew it up, clean it out. said, because if we give him anything, he's lost so much blood, he's going to die. Mm-hmm. We give him any painkillers. So that's what they did. And that's about all I remember of that. And of course.
But I remember you telling me years later that that experience felt like you really call them out of body experience. I mean, different people have different people describe it, but often similar. But
yeah, very similar.
Well, I didn't know it then. Of course, I was a baby, more or less. And I didn't know it then, but as time went on with my life, you came along, and Bobby's mama came along. We got married, and Bobby came, you know. And that's when you was born, I kind of, that's when I got the idea, God's looking out for me, because I've done a bunch of bad stuff. Anyway, when I got about 12 years old, I think I finished the seventh grade. I couldn't take mama no more. She was drunk all the time. She didn't cook. I was living by myself with a drunk.
Where was this at? Where were we all living at that time?
I think it was in Georgia, best I remember. Some of this stuff is a blur.
Yeah,
you know, I can't remember everything this far. Plus, I had a stroke, too. But anyway.
When you told me this story before, I think you told me it was in Georgia.
So,
make sure.
Because Paul Mack and Mom Mack were helped raise you after, I guess, after.
Yeah, they weren't raising type people.
Oh, okay.
No, they didn't like me because they didn't like my mother.
Oh, okay.
She used to go up and whip them once in a while, and of course they took it out on me. But anyway, so I grabbed a white T-shirt and put it in my back pocket of my jeans, and I left. And that's. I didn't leave town right away. I kind of hung around here. I don't know why. I just didn't want to go out. I was scared by myself, I guess. I can remember going to the grocery store when they'd bring the treats and stuff in, danishes and stuff. They'd deliver them to a big grocery store before they opened. I found out about that, and I could go get me a couple of them to eat. You know, I know it's stealing, but so anyway, I did that for a little while. I found out this ain't gonna work. I got to go from here because I was afraid every time I seen a cop car, I'd run. You know, so anyway, then I got started out hitchhiking towards El Paso, Texas. I remember that. I didn't know where I was going, but I remember the name El Paso, Texas. And I used to wait at bus stations, Grand bus stations. And the people would go in there and order food and sit down, and the bus, they'd call a bus, and they'd have to get up and leave their food. That's how I ate food off these people's plate.
So this is hitchhiking at 12 years old.
Yeah.
Across the country.
Yeah, yeah. And during this time, I learned a few things. Like, I learned what makes somebody fight. What makes somebody really fight is being scared. Somebody scared or kill you. And anyway, I used to do that ground bus stations, and I made my way to El Paso finally. And I got to El Paso, I got a job in a car wash. And I was the guy that scrubbed the tires because I was younger and littler. And there was a big old guy in there, a bully type guy. And we got our money in a brown envelope here at the end of the day. I think I made $3 a day or $2 a day, something like that. And he come along there and tease us with it, you know, try to tease me with it. Mm-hmm. You got to get this, you got to jump and get it. And I said, I got too much pride, but I ain't going to jump and beg for my money I earned. I took me one of them brushes and hit him upside his head. Bam! He fell down on one knee and dropped my money. I got my money and left. I never go back. But I didn't beg for my money there. Yeah. So.
I think if I remember right, you told me you hadn't eaten.
Huh?
Like a day or so. You hadn't eaten.
Yeah.
You were starving.
When I got that money and finally got it in my hand, I went and got me a hamburger. And I thought, man, that's the best thing I ever eat.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, I can't remember exactly when it was, I got a little money. And I went to the grocery store, big grocery store, and told the guy, what can I buy for, I think it's like $4, accumulated some kind of way. I said, what can I buy for $4 that will last me a long time? And I said, it won't go bad. I can take it with me and open it and go and eat it. He said, well, the only thing we got is cranberry sauce. I said, cranberry sauce? He said, it won't spoil. It comes in these. You have one every day. I said, all right. I bought me a case of that stuff. And he was very nice about it, though. He gave me the jelly and the berries mixed together. He said, so you won't get tired of this stuff so quick. Mm. I thought, well, that's pretty nice. And so I kept going on out toward Trail Paso, Texas. And I went to Imperial Valley in California. I'm getting ahead of myself. I went to El Paso, Texas, and there's a cop picked me up for runaway.
Mm.
Yeah, big old guy. Big. And he had cigars in his pocket.
Did your mom report you missing or something like that?
Probably so. That's where I know I had to go because I was going to be in trouble. They wouldn't believe she done nothing.
Right.
I'd been juvenile or something. So he stopped me and he put me in his car and he said, I got you down to the runaway. I said, well, you may have me down to the runaway. And I said, I guess that's what I did. He said, so I'm going to put you in jail, hold you, and they'll send somebody to either get you or another police officer come and get you and ferry you back to where you came from, county by county. I said, yeah, you can put me in jail. I said, you can do all that stuff. I said, but I ain't going back. He says, yeah, you going back? I said, no, I ain't going back. And he said, you got to go back. I said, why do I have to go back? Anyway, over a period of time, me and him talked. He let me out of the cell. Every time he'd bend over, the big old cigar would fall out of his pocket. And I'd be doing, because he couldn't pick them up. Too fat. Yeah. And I'd pick them up and hand them back to him. I said, why don't you button that pocket so they don't fall out? Anyway, make a long story short. The next morning, he got up and said, I'm going to drive you to County Line. They said, and don't come back this way no more. I said, I ain't coming back this way. I'm going that way out west. I ain't coming back here. So he carried me to the county line, and he gave me some money. And he told me, I said, how much further can I go? He said, you can go to California if you want to. I really and truly, I didn't know nothing about California. I said, well, that's where I'm going there. So I went to Imperial Valley and stopped there for a few days. And there was a bunch of Boy Scouts having I think they call it a jamboree, where they was camping out and cooking out and one thing or another. So I was just walking around talking to the guys. And they said, are you a Boy Scout? And I said, no, I'm not a Boy Scout. They said, you want to hang around with us? I said, sure. So they fed me and let me sleep in a tent for a couple of days. And of course, when the jamboree was over, all the Boy Scouts left. I was still standing there. So I got headed out that way again, California. I got to California, and I used to go to the blood banks and give blood so I could have something to eat. And they finally got most of the place I was at, got smart, and they figured out you can't do it so many times. You know, they will only do it so many times. So I said, well, I got to try to do something different because this ain't working. They caught on to me. So I said, well, so I used to hang around this little restaurant because there's a girl working, her name was Rusty, and she kind of like adopted me and let me stay sleep on her couch, you know, which I was thankful for that. And she fed me too.
Mm.
So
she wasn't like a girlfriend or anything.
No. She was a grown woman. No.
Okay.
And she used to have sailors in there all the time, you know. And when she had sailors there, I had to leave. But I could spend anything for a good night or two. I'd go back and get my shower and, you know, so one day a sailor left a paper in there, newspaper, and it said on there, so-and-so advertising for a crew to help sail a sailboat to Hawaii. Now, there's a bunch of stuff I can't remember. I'm probably leaving out some of it, but I'm trying to remember it as it happened. But anyway, so I called a guy, and he says, have you ever been on a sailboat? I said, nope. He says, well, how old are you? And I told him, I'm 16. He said, well, can you get a note from your mother? I thought, oh, man, I'm going to do that. He said, if you can get a notarized note from your mother and her signing, he said, I'll let you go with me, and we'll both learn how to sail a sailboat, him and his family. So, how was that going now? Oh, yeah. So, then I told Rusty about it. I said, Rusty, I got a chance to go to Hawaii free. And he said, when you get over here, he said, when we get there, when you get ready to come back, I'll buy you a plane ticket wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, okay, that's a good deal. So anyway, I told Rusty, I said, I got to have a notarized letter from my mother. She said, well, I can sign it. I said, she said, I can get it notarized too. I knew somebody to notarize it. So anyway.
Not exactly the most honest notary.
Got it. Anyway, I carried it to him, and I told him, I said, he said, we're going to leave on such and such a date. He said, will you be ready to go? I said, I'm ready to go now. He says, where's your bag? I still got the bag at the house.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's a little canvas-looking thing.
Brown?
Gray. Nylon-looking stuff. And that's what I had my stuff in.
Wow.
But anyway, my underwear, and I didn't have much. But anyway. So he said, well, what you got? And I said, yes. He said, well, we're going to leave on such and such a date. Come back. I said, okay. He didn't want me to go then. So I went back to our boat, too. A 65-foot sloop, I think they call it. So I met up with him when he said he wanted to go, and he had a motor on the boat, so he didn't try to sail it to start off with. So we went out in the ocean, and as we was in the ocean, had a little young daughter, about a little bit older than me, probably 2 years older than me. And I had my own little bunk on the boat and away from the family. And me and him got out there sailing around. We was pulling them sheets in and dropping the sheets out, whatever you call that stuff. I said, man, I said, this.
And they call it hoisting the mainsail.
Yeah. But anyway, we finally got where we could make it go where we wanted to go. And we cut the motor off and went to Hawaii. So it took 11 days, I think. I think it was 11 days to get there. We went to Honolulu. So when we got to Honolulu, by that time, me and him had been friends. I said, well, he said, I'll buy you a ticket and you can go back. I said, I ain't got nothing to go back to. He said, well, what about if you stay on my boat as part of my crew? Because I know you know how to sail now. He said, when we get ready to go out, he said, I'll call you and you get everything ready. We'll go out for the weekend, whatever, you know. So that's what we agreed on. And he let me stay on the boat, but he didn't give me as much money as I wanted. He gave me a little allowance, you know. Of course, I wanted more, you know. So for extra money, I bought my scrub brush, and I would go, not scuba diving, but snorkeling around a boat, scrubbing their bottom barnacle stuff off, and they'd pay me for that. Of course, they knew that I wasn't doing nothing. You can't dig a barnacle off with a brush. So they would let me... think I was doing something, pay me a little something. And while I was there, I don't know what year it was. I can't remember. But anyway, Hawaii had a tidal wave. And you can look that up probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was there. So they had a big alarm. Whoa, 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 you know. And all the people hurrying around their boats getting ready. And I didn't know what to do with this boat. But I got some people to help me. And we made it through the night. It used to come at night. And the water would come in, and the boat would go up, and it'd go out further and come back in further. It got to one point where it would come in so far till the ropes were about to break.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would go back out. And then the last time or two it came in, the boats started, we loosened the ropes on the boats, so it wouldn't break them. it tried to float toward the dock. And I said, now, if it goes back out, it's going to come down on that dock.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got a bunch of us got together, and we pulled ropes, and we got through that night. And like I said, it was called Alamoana Boat Harbor in Hawaii. And I used to get coconuts for the tourists out of the Alamoana Canal. I had a stick with a nail on it. And I'd stick it and give it to the tourists. And I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. Oh, coconut out of water. Anyway, I did that for a while. And tourists would pay me a little something. And then, they had dried octopuses. We like jerky, but they had dried, salted octopus hanging on a string. Mm-hmm. And I could get one of them things for, I think it was 25 cents. I think it was. And I could chew on that thing all day long. So I used to do that and eat coconuts.
And the world's worst bubble gum.
Yes.
So then I got with a bunch of people that was going to go around the island and tour the island. So they said, where should we go? Of course, everybody figured by this time I knew everything about the island, and all I knew about was sailing a daggone boat. So I'd take them to these other places I heard about, and they thought that was the greatest thing in the world. They didn't know no difference. They had a place called, I think it was Alamoana Waterfalls, I think it was the name of it. And you had to hike in there to it. And it was about 80 foot high, the waterfall was. And the trick was to get up there on the top to show you were brave, jump in the water, because the bottom of that thing wasn't as big as this room. And you don't know where rocks are.
That's not very
smart. Yeah, but that's what the young people thought. That was good. That was exciting to them. And I came up with the idea. One guy jumped off and got water up his nose. I tell him, I said, man, I said, you know how to keep him doing that? He said, hold my breath. I said, no, put a leaf underneath your nose. Get it wet, stick it up under there. And it worked for him, so from then on, that's what everybody did. Put a bullet, whether they needed it or not, they put a, like that. They would hold it with their finger, you know. Anyway.
Is this about the same time as you learned how to surf?
Well, during the, all this time was all that stuff. I had a surfboard, and I learned how to surf, and I was never no good at it.
Oh, yeah. I would pay money to see you surfing.
But back then, they didn't have these little bitty boards they got now.
Longboards.
Yeah. And mine was, somebody gave it to me. Some lady gave it to me. It was like a boat, like what they paddle around. And I stand up and paddle around. That thing was so heavy, I couldn't tow that. Drag one into the dirt. But anyway.
That's before they put styrofoam in.
Anyway, that thing was so heavy. And I surfed with it anyway, it don't matter. And I got in trouble in Waikiki Beach one time for digging a hole. It's against the law to dig a hole on the beach. There was a little girl had a bucket, and she was, well, I was, took the bucket. She wanted to get her feet in there and cover them up. I give her the bucket, I took the bucket, put your feet in there, cover. First thing I know, here's a couple of guys from one of them hotels up there. I said, you can't do that, boy. You can't. I said, So anyway, they made me leave the beach. And back way back when, Kaiser Aluminum had a bunch of catamarans on the beach. They were pink and white. And I got part of it, because I could sail a little bit, I got on crew on one of them things, and we just take tourists out or surf back in on the waves. So we did that. I did that for a while. And I said, what up? Something else. We got a sailboat, man, the guy did. It was sunk at the dock. Old man said, I sure wish I could get that thing out of here. It's blocking my way. And I told him, I said, if we get it up, can we have it? It was probably a 14-foot sailboat, maybe. Just big enough to people laying in front of it. He says, yeah. So me and this guy got in it. I says, how are we going to get it up? I said, well, we need a little compressor. Make a long story short, I said, we'll get some old inner tubes and stuff down in the cubby holes of this thing and leave the valve stem sticking out, and we'll dive down there and pump the things up. Well, it'll raise up, and the water should go out.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Did you put a leaf on your nose?
No, not for that thing. But once we got it up, the guy let us put it up on his little dry dock looking thing and fix it so it wouldn't leak no more. So Ben had got the idea, well, what are you going to do now? We're going to leave Hawaii, the island of Oahu, because we're going to leave there, and we're just going to go all over the Hawaiian Islands in that little boat. And we sailed, and I think in about 2 days, I'm not sure about how long it was, but we had there's a beach there, and we had a little rowboat, and we went to the rowboat and was going to row to the beach, and these people come just running down to the beach, and I was looking at them, and I told the guy, I said, what's wrong with them people? Some of them didn't have hands, some of them didn't have feet.
How were they running with no feet?
Well, that's what I'm saying, the ones that was able to run, you know, of course. But anyway, we got almost to the beach, probably about 300 feet from the beach, and I got looking at them, I said, that people ain't got no feet, no hands. They had some ears gone. So I told them, I said, we don't want to stop there. So we rode back out and left. And
did come you to find out what it was?
Yeah, come to find out later. I'm trying to do this and what happened.
Okay.
So we left there and we got talking to people. And they said, yeah, that was Molokai. I said, well, what is Molokai? They said, that's a leper's colony. I said, well, and so we went from there. We decided we didn't want to go to more bunch of islands. We're tired of that stuff already.
After 2 days.
Well, it don't take long when you're hungry. I mean, anyway, we went back to the boat harbor.
I just have to say, and it's not that I doubted you for a moment, but I wanted to see if you were. How to visit the Molokai leper colony in Kalapapa, Hawaii is the first thing. That is wild.
Do you believe what I'm telling you?
No, it's not that I don't believe you. I believe you, but that was so fantastic. It just seemed like, wow. I've never heard that part of the story.
You've never heard a lot of the story, son.
I know that. That's wild.
I don't talk about it much.
I know.
But anyway.
So at this point, are you done on the big sailboat?
No.
Okay.
So we went back, and I went back to living on a big boat with the guy. I said, he said, you want to live here again now? I said, yeah, my big adventure's over. You know, a little sailboat ain't for me. Anyway, so then in part time, I used to get crews on big sailboats. People, they knew I could sail, you know, or basic. So John Ford, I don't know who he is, he's a movie director. He directed a bunch of John Wayne movies.
Yeah, I've heard his name before.
So I got to talking to him, or one of the guys who worked for him. I said, what's the chance of getting on going with y'all once in a while? He said, well, yeah, you can do that. He said, but we don't want you bothering the movie stars. I said, I didn't know about movie stars. I didn't know about John Ford. I just wanted to work on a boat. A lot of old pirate boat, what it looked like.
And, you can view this boat online, too.
Anyway, so he said, don't bother the what do you call them, actors. I said,
I was like, you wouldn't be starstruck anyway.
No, I didn't care about that stuff. Anyway, so we left one time and went out, and I think John Wayne was on it, and the guy that plays on Gunsmoke was on it.
Marshall Dillon?
Yeah.
Well, that was his name on the show. What's his real name? It don't matter.
Matt Dillon. And Lee Marvin was on there. Lee Marvin was on there.
Wow, Lee Marvin.
And they was all drunk. I mean, they drank all the time.
All you know who Lee Marvin is?
Lee Marvin played in
The Eraser. Yes.
I was going to say he played in Maverick with Mel Gibson.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know, but anyway.
I
went sailing on that boat for a while, and I did all this stuff for a while. I finally got tired of it. I told him, I said, I'm ready to go back somewhere. I said, I can't go that way because I can't speak Chinese and all that stuff. He said, well, I'm going to go home and go back to Jacksonville and Florida, wherever I was at, and I'm going to stay at my grandmother's house, and I'm going to get a job, and then I'm going to go in the military.
That was Granny Harris.
Yeah.
Back at Granny Harris's house. Okay. So I didn't realize how much Jacksonville was in your story before. I guess I didn't think about Granny Harris living here and Grandpa Foskey working for Greyhound.
Right.
So I didn't realize how much it played into the story.
I didn't put the two and two together either. I just imagine you lived and loved it forever.
Yeah, I remember being at Granny Harris's house. That's where I got the scar over my face.
Yep. When your mama rented an apartment next door.
Yep. And then I was running through the house. I fell. I hit the corner of the coffee table. Yep. You took me to the Ineson primary care. But then you got mad at the doctor because he said you weren't paying attention.
We carried you in there. And he said, I'm not going to dead nurse. It's not like I ain't going to, anyway. I told myself, get dead in that thing because it's going to hurt. He didn't want to do that. So he deadened it, but he didn't wait for it to take effect. He took the needle, stuck in your eye, and you hollered. I said, whoo, 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 you ain't doing that. He said, you got to go out in the waiting room. I said, no, we ain't doing that. So your mama taught me to go out in the waiting room and let him. And I heard you holler again. I come in and I said, baby, I said, I'm going to go outside and let you do this thing. But if I hear that young'un holler again, I'm going to come in and see if I can knock your head off. He said, well, we better wait for this medicine to take effect. I said, very good idea.
You better wait for it.
Very good idea. You come up with a good idea that time, Slick.
Golly. Yeah. What the daughter was, is he end up playing with Kimball Run?
So that one went pretty good.
Have you ever seen the scar? Yeah, I heard
the
story several times.
So they sewed you up, and we carried you back home, and I had just told you, stop running. Well, it wasn't 2 seconds later, you tripped him. Blam! I said, Keith, I told you to stop running. Of course, you was crying, and we rushed you to the hospital, doctor's office.
Okay, so I didn't mean to jump ahead so much because we were right before you went to Vietnam. Because this is, I didn't realize you were in Jacksonville then.
Yes.
So before you went to Vietnam.
That's when I joined up at the Naval Air Station.
But you joined the Air Force.
Yes.
Now, why did you join the Air Force instead of the Navy?
Well, I went down there. I had all the recruiters down there in the office. I was painting cars during that time.
Painting cars?
And driving a wrecker, working in a body shop.
Is this when JFK was assassinated? Is that when you were painting cars? Did you say
no? It's a different time.
No, you said that's where you were painting a car when you heard that it was.
When Kennedy got killed.
Yeah. Was this the same time or was this?
Yes, same time.
He said JFK, I think he was confused. Oh. But anyway, Kennedy. Yeah.
But anyway, I went down there because I got drafted. They were going to draft me anyway. So I went down there and talked to Marine Corps. I said, and he told me, he said, you can't get in here unless you're a high school graduate. And I said, but I'm not a high school graduate. He said, and he put his knuckles on the table, why do you want to be a Marine, boy? And I looked at him, I said, they all like you. He said, pretty much. I said, that's a good question. Why would anybody want to join that outfit? Shit, I live. So I went down to I went down to the Navy guy, and he told me the same thing. He said, you got to be a high school graduate, and that's all I said. And I went to the Army, and they said, well, you can join, but it's not like these other guys. You sleep in the dirt a lot, and you walk around the woods a lot. Sleep out night. I said, I don't like to do that.
I went through that.
So I went to the Air Force guy. He said, well, you got to be a high school graduate. I says, what? I'm not a high school graduate. Is there any way I can join? He said, well, we need people. I said, well, is there any way I can join? He said, can you pass this test? I said, I don't know. I ain't took the test yet. He said, if you can pass this test, that we give you, that's a high school equivalency test. So if you can pass that, we'll put you in here. I passed the test.
And that's pretty amazing, the fact that you didn't go to high school
at all.
Yeah. I mean, did you go to any high school?
No.
Because you were, that would have been the time you was Hawaii and backpacking across.
Backpacking.
And back to that boat that John Ford had. If you ever, Donovan's Reef, if you ever see Donovan's Reef movie, that boat's in the background in harbor. Same one.
Yeah, you can view this boat online.
Okay.
I've seen pictures of it on the internet. I found it one day.
And that lady, Marino Harry or something, she was on there with him too. So.
Okay. So, phase three. Now we've gone through phase one. That was before you left home. Phase two was when you was making your way across the country and on the boat. And I've known a lot of these. For some of you, are filling in some gaps for me. The whole Jacksonville thing really is a big deal to me. Because I didn't realize the place.
I can't remember all this stuff. Like today, I can remember something. Tomorrow, I remember something. And I have to put it together in pieces. So, because
sure.
Those are not memories you want to remember.
How old were you when you went to Vietnam?
22.
Oh, okay, so you were late.
Last minute, I didn't want to go.
Oh, okay.
Been drafted.
Well, if you were born in 45,
that about 22 years old.
I'm bad at that. So it would have been 67. When was Vietnam?
Huh?
When? I don't know.
68 and 69 is when I was there. The best I remember, anyway.
I'm looking at when was the Vietnam conflict.
I went over it just before it ended.
November 1st, 1955 to April 30th, 1975.
Was that long? 20 years?
According to Google, it says Vietnam War period, November 1st, 1955. I don't think we were involved at that point.
Probably not.
But, okay, when did it start in for the U.S.? Okay. The period beginning at February 20th, 1961, ended May 7th, 1975. So that's still, that's what, 61 to 71? That's 14 years.
I was there for 2 years.
And you were there what years?
It was 68.
Right in the middle.
68 and 69. Something like that, right in that area.
Where were you stationed?
I was, first of all, I didn't go to Vietnam to start off with. I went to Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines, and they supported, we flew missions to Vietnam. Anyway, so I was stationed there for a while, and then they sent me TDY okay?
What's TDY?
Temporary Change of Duty.
Okay.
In other words, I was just a fill-in for somebody, before somebody else got there. So I stayed there. A normal tour of duty for us was 13 months. So I stayed there for 13 months, and I was supposed to come back to the States because I'd been overseas already over a year.
Yeah.
So they said, you can go back. When I got back to the Philippines, I'd been there about 2 weeks, and they come up with some orders. I said, I did my orders to go home. Back. But to make a long story short, when I first got to the Philippines, I didn't go to Clark Air Force Base. I went to a little bitty rinky-dink Air Force Base, Mactan. It's just a little rinky-dink place. It might have had a dozen airplanes on it. So I stayed there a little while. Then they sent me to Clark, and then they sent me to Vietnam, and they sent me. They're going to send me from Vietnam back home, I thought. They just changed my records, and I stayed in Vietnam.
Wow.
So I spent 2 years there.
When you were there, did they have barracks, or did you live
Yes, in yes, we had barracks, but it was like, do you know what an open bay barracks is? I know you don't.
No.
It's like a dormitory. Like a dormitory,
okay.
With sandbags all the way around it.
Okay.
Because
in Hot Shots, when it comes into the barracks,
Yeah.
Okay,
that's called an open bay barracks. In other words, everything's wide open.
I'm assuming you didn't have air conditioning.
No. We didn't even have hot water to bathe then. When you got a bath, you went there and got in cold water. That's what I thought too. That ain't no fun. But that, man, I liked that place. Beer was cheap.
You liked Vietnam because the beer was cheap.
Yes, I did. And believe me, people fussed about it, but it wasn't near as bad as where I come from.
Sure. But your life is so bad that going to Vietnam is a pleasure.
I mean, in the military, they feed you, they give you clothes. At night, you can go do what you want to do. I always had a bed waiting on you.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's nice. Because when I was on the streets, I used to go to the suburbs and find people that didn't leave their car locked and climb in there and go to sleep in the rain. Matter of fact, one morning I woke up and a guy snatched his door open and scared me and scared him too. I was laying in the back seat. Well, opened the door on the other side and took off. Boom. That's how I got clean clothes.
Yeah,
people would hang their clothes on the line. They don't do that no more.
Yeah.
And I'd go, I look like a pit. Boom. I got clean clothes.
So, after Vietnam, did you spend 4 years in the military? Is that what it was?
Well, it was called 4 years active and 2 years inactive. And there they call you back.
Okay. So, you would have got out about 28 years old?
No. Maybe somewhere along in there. I don't know exactly how long it was, huh?
Because when you came back, did you come directly to Jacksonville, or did you go?
Yes. What they do is they send you back where you enlisted from.
Okay.
When did you go to Japan?
I went TDY to Japan when I was in Vietnam, because every so often they have to send you what they call rest and relaxation. R&R. They'd send you somewhere, R&R. So I was chose to go to Japan because, like I said, beer was cheap.
What else?
Everything went.
Careful.
but that's where I went, right? That's where I went to TDY. I remember one time I went over there and they got what they call Japanese baths.
Oh, yeah.
They got a bath of hot water, big old hole in the ground full of hot water, cold water, 7 baths.
Going from hot to cold, hot to cold.
When you get in that first one, it's nice and warm and hot. It's like a great big figure round thing, but it ain't very deep. But you just sit in there. And after you sit there about 20 minutes, the water starts to cool off. Then you get up and you get in a cold one. And you sit in that thing about to freeze to death, and they say it's time for another.
Boy.
So then I come back and went to work at another body shop. Then I went to work at a paper mill, and I went to work driving trucks. And that's.
Yeah, how long? The other day when we were driving down. What's Martin Luther King now? Used to be 20th Street Expressway. Yeah. You said I drove trucks for that place. You pointed at a place, and it was a movie.
That used to be a Benton Lee's film place years ago. Benton Lee's, the name of the place.
Same name, was the state place?
No, they delivered film.
No, movie. No, but Benton Lee's is a state place in Georgia.
But it's not the same.
They're different. Okay.
Yeah. This Benton, it's called not Benton Lee's, but Benton Brothers. It's
Benton
called.
Brothers, okay.
And I used to drive for them a couple of years. I would deliver popcorn and anything out in the woods to my drive-in theaters.
Oh, okay.
So that, when they was closed. So I was training this guy one night, and he carried his gun with him. I said, you don't need to carry a gun. He said, well, I'll feel better with it. I said, okay. So we was taking these film cans, they call them cans, they're big old things about it, big round, made out of metal,
yep.
The handles on them. And we were taking them in the bathroom. We had a key to the bathroom. We was going to put them in there and lock the door. Well, we was putting them in there, and I made about 2 trips, I don't know how many he made, but all of a sudden, pow, pow! What in the world? I went and opened the door, and he had shot the toilet. Because of them, bloop, he said it scared him and he shot the toilet. Yeah. So the guy had to pay for the toilet. He did.
Was that a part of the training?
I guess it was.
Well, you handled that well.
Old Tackleberry. It is shooting everybody. I'm so sorry. I made me the giggles.
The first place I went was Benton's to drive truck. They trained me. I don't know what year that was. But I remember Bentley's, they had a German Shepherd guard dog out there, guarded the trucks. They tied him to the trucks. And he could just run on down it. And I went one night to get my truck. And he acted like he's going to eat me up. They was closed. So every time I tried to get my truck, he'd run at me. I had some chicken's barbecue.
And I had barbecue around that long.
Yeah.
And I had ribs, and I had a lot of hot sauce. So I went down to the far end of the trucks, and I opened this thing up and threw it down the ground. Dog come running down there, and he seen that stuff. He started eating it. I went and got my truck. That's all I could get in there. And he didn't like me no more. Every time he seen me, he tried to bite me.
Just the hot sauce.
Yep.
Well, Daddy, we've been going at this for a little over, almost an hour now.
I'll tell you it's going to be a long time.
Huh?
I'll tell you it's going to be a long time.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, though. And you kind of brought me up to the, right before I was born, I guess.
I know you don't know what this is, but when I was a young man, I was what they call a rounder. I was always into something. Always into something.
I've never heard that term. You?
Well, I was always in. I'd get in trouble and get out of trouble. I was always into something. And I, like I said, I didn't realize it then why I didn't go to prison. Because I've done a lot of bad stuff in my time. I mean, I've hurt people. I've nothing to be proud of. I mean, I'm not bragging about it. But I'm just saying I didn't know then that God had a plan for me. And when I realized it, I really didn't understand it. Then the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. Just like you. I was sent to help you too.
Yeah.
I mean, at least I think I was. I feel like I was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And your mama, that's what I'm supposed to do is help her. Yeah. If I can. So that's, I'm just doing what he wants me to do the rest of my life. I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Now, I want to finish, but I want to talk. That's a good thing because you just talked about the Lord working in all this. When do you believe you came to trust in Christ? When do you think? When? Because I think I know when it was, and I think I know. But I wanted to ask you: do you think you know? I mean, you believe in Christ now?
Oh yes. I would probably say about the time you were born, I guess, or right after that. I mean, I just realized that that's what I'm here for. You know what I mean?
But see, I would say, and I guess I'm looking at it, when I think about being born again, I think...
Oh, I didn't know nothing about none of that then.
Yeah,
and I never even heard of it.
Yeah. So you didn't go to church at all when you was little, even though my Mac was...
Well, they tried to make me go to church.
Yeah. But
it didn't... Your granddaddy sent her... Couldn't find his feet with his hands, drunk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It wasn't like going to church.
Yeah.
People didn't want to talk to you. Didn't want to talk to you, grandparents. Didn't want to talk to your mama.
Well, I remember when you and Pat got married, you know, Bobby became my brother.
Yeah.
You know, Pat became my stepmom. And you made me go to church because you said... You thought it'd be good for
me. I know it'd be good for you, yes.
But you never went really with us until after I got saved, because I didn't get saved until I was 19.
Well, the way I'm not making excuses now, but the way I worked was really hard to get a schedule, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what made it so bad. Because I was tired and sleepy all the time. If I got a good night's sleep, it'd probably 3 hours sleep. in 24 hours. That drains you down, or you don't feel like doing a lot of stuff. But anyway, I'm not making excuses.
You've never liked being around people.
No, I don't. No.
And you're not making excuses for that. But that is, it's funny because you go places and you don't stay very long. This is the longest you've ever been in my house.
Well, that's because you made me.
No, it's true though, isn't it? Yeah. You get him over for Christmas. And
can I tell you something?
Yeah.
My little old place that I live over there is where I feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And you want people to come there.
I don't mind. I don't, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I feel, like Gary today, he asked me, he says, are you ever going to come into my house and see me? I says, no. He said, what? I said, no. Be honest with you, no. I probably never will go to your house.
Oh, man.
One of my favorites.
Well, I know he is such a sweet guy.
I can't help that. Yeah. I don't care nothing.
But you weren't trying to be mean. You were just saying.
No, I told him. I said, don't take it personal. I said, I'm an old man. I feel safe in my own place.
Yeah.
See,
I think when, and Bobby backed me up on this, I think Billy Graham was a turning point.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Because I wouldn't have done that otherwise.
Going forward.
Yes.
Because at the invitation, you went.
Yep. Well, for him to go not to like people and to go to a Billy Graham crusade.
Yeah, all those people.
And then to go forward, you got up. We didn't ask you to get up. You just got up and went down.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't.
I know, but Pat was sitting there. I said, I'm going down. I got to go down there and let him know.
Okay.
I remember it was probably like a week after that too. Billy Graham were in your truck, and it was the first time Papa even mentioned Perseverance with the Saints.
Wow.
Well, in his verbiage though, he said, "Boy, you think this thing's gonna stick?"
Yeah, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
and you've been pretty active in the church since then.
Yeah,
I mean, and I guess. It wasn't, because that was before I became a pastor. You know, Daryl was still here because Daryl was part of the, remember him and Tim worked they got people from churches to go work down there.
Right. Yep.
So this will be fun. I'm glad we talked about your salvation, but I want to ask this though. What is your fondest memory of me, you, Pat, and Bobby, because it was the four of us for years, you know. I mean, before Bobby married Julie, you know, that was, how many years were we in the same house?
5 years.
I got
6 years. Wait,
you came into the house, you were 11, or 12.
12.
And you left?
At 18. And then returned 18 and 1 month later.
I remember being... When you, the first night you came to the house, I came in the door in underwear.
Yeah. Yeah.
First night we spent the night at your house on Home Drive. I had a bloody nose, ruined your
brand new pillow.
Brand new pillow.
You were the first person to use it.
And that was, I remember when we would go over there, but we would stay in the guest room.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Dad and Pat weren't here yet, I remember sleeping with you in the guest room. Remember that, Dad?
And we spent the night at your house, too, at Jill's house.
Because
your dad was sleeping in the master room, and then my mom was sleeping in your room. Because my room didn't have a bed in it. Because when we first moved there, I had to sleep on air mattress until we got all of our furniture, you know, my furniture moved over, you know.
So what would you say is your fondest memory of those 6 years?
I don't know if there is a fondest memory. It was a learning experience, I can tell you that. Trying to change two city slickers to a redneck.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah.
And they tried to change me and that wasn't gonna work. So I don't know if there's a, after I got adjusted to it, it was all fine to me.
Yeah, I think we meshed so well. I think that's what it did. It was
two families, to mash the way we did?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That was a blessing right there.
I'll tell you something that he did, though. I don't want to interrupt you, but something that just came to my mind. We were going to the mountains, and you had had a topper put on the back of your Ford F-150.
Oh, yeah.
And he took a 3/4-inch sheet plywood, put it on top of the topper, and put a mattress on it. And you and I rode on that mattress the 8 or 10 hours or wherever it was. From
listening to Dalton Rama tape player.
Was that MC or?
MC and New Kids on the Block.
New Kids on the Block.
Yes.
So, but can you imagine? They would bury you today. The decent airplane. Put your children to, like, the topper is bolted down.
It was secure.
But not well.
No, that's not the one. The one is when we had, when you borrowed Don Morris's truck with that cattle gate grade on it, the cattle.
Remember the thing?
We'd be going down the road. We'd be on top, climbing the top of that thing, just hanging, riding out.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that in a year, did you?
But I remember trips to the mountains. I remember Ruby Falls. I remember Ghost Town in the Sky. Now, I don't think we did that together, because Paul Freeman is in the pictures with me. I think that was you.
Yeah.
May have been a little older at that point.
I did it a couple of times.
Yeah.
My mom and dad, we went when they were married. And then after my mom and dad's divorce,
yeah,
forcing that pop up, we went on a trip with Aunt Marnie and Chris.
Yep.
And my cousin Chris.
And then you telling me all about it. And I got to go. And Jennifer Fife, when she was Jennifer Fife, it was me, her, and Paul Freeman. And you and Pat took us there. We had a lot of good memories growing up, though.
Oh, yeah. Like Ronner's kids. You know, because
Ron was an adult.
I know, but I'm saying
the picture. But
yeah, but her, we carried her kids everywhere. You carried y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, they was all my kids. The way I look at it,
yeah.
I treated them that way too. Tried to. Hey.
Well, Papa, you are the Papa.
I hope so. I ain't good all the time. I know I ain't, but I ain't perfect either.
Well, we love you.
And that's all I can care for.
And this is, all this was for us to have something for good memories. And you shared a lot with me today that I didn't realize. So,
well, do you think any less of me?
I couldn't possibly. Never mind. I think some of that helped clear up the whole Jacksonville. I never realized how much Jacksonville fit into your story before.
And it seemed like it should have, because I knew Papa, I mean, I knew Grandpa Foskey.
Because you always talk about places around here where he did stuff, like that time with Grandpa Foskey in the convenience store with a gun.
Yeah. A lot of guns involved in these stores.
You know the Dinsmore Creek down there?
Yeah.
The US one? Well, there was a great big rock. I don't know if it's still there or not. There used to be a wooden bridge going across there.
It's still there. The rock is still there, too.
There was a big, very big old rock. I don't know if it's still there or not. But I got a picture of you standing on it when you was about JJ's age.
Yeah.
Standing on it with a pair of shorts on.
Well, if he was JJ's age, he'd been about like this tall.
A little bigger.
But, since y'all came along in my life, I have a lot of good memories. Hardly any bad memories. Most of the memories, if it's a bad one, that's because I made it.
I helped out too.
Huh?
I helped out too.
Yeah, we've all contributed to good and bad.
I'm just glad to see y'all grown up. And as far as I know, y'all both good men. I hope Pat does this too.
No, I think this would be good to hear. We'll do this for, you know, next time we get together. Well, thank you, Dan. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording now.
Okay, good.
All right.
I'm tired.
All right.